Hello, good morning. Welcome to worship. Thank you for coming this morning. In your bulletin, you'll see on the right-hand side the activities of this upcoming week. On Wednesday night, we have a supper at 6:30 in the Ed Building, followed by Bible study and prayer. Please come to that if you are able. Our third Sunday Family Fellowship luncheon for the month of October has been changed to the last Sunday of this month. On October the 29th, Ronnie and Patricia Oswalt will host the fellowship luncheon, and we will celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. The women of the church will be collecting canned and non-perishable items in the Ed Building for Thanksgiving baskets and items for Samaritan's Purse until sometime in November, and Christmas presents for deployed soldiers. They are, well, you need to talk to Patricia Oswalt about what kind of presents to bring for that, or maybe Carolyn or Louise. WIC Monthly will meet again on Tuesday evening, October the 17th at 5:30 in the Ed Building. You'll have a light meal and then continue your new Bible study. Down at the bottom of your bulletin on the right side, you'll see question 32 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And question 32 of the Shorter Catechism says, "What benefits do they that are effectually called partake of in this life?" And the answer is, our call to worship this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 18, 22, and 23. Would you read it with me responsibly? "To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness compare with Him?
Do you not know? Do you not hear?
Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?
Would you please stand and let's all sing the doxology.
May be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, our God, You sit enthroned above the circle of the earth. You have stretched out the heavens like a canopy and spread them out like a tent to live in.
The universe is your temple and your presence fills all time and space. There's no one to compare to you, O God. You are the everlasting God. You are the creator of the ends of the earth. Your power and majesty and holiness is beyond our ability to comprehend and exceeds our ability to express in praise. But we cannot be silent. We must praise you. We thank you for the gospel of eternal life through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He also taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our first hymn is number 302. Come, Christians, join to sing. And would you please, if you're able, stand and let's sing all three stanzas. Come, Christians, join to sing. Together. Let's confess our faith. Using the ancient Apostles' Creed, Christian, what is it that you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
To the Father and to the Son.
Thank you. You may be seated. We need to remember in our prayers this morning Bertha McCullough and Clara Bowles. Clara Bowles, Friday night, her blood pressure shot sky high, and it was really high. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was really high. And so she spent Friday night in ICU, in the emergency room, and Saturday in ICU. And she is in a room now, 318 in Baptist Hospital in Oxford. And she's doing well now. They have her blood pressure under control. But need to remember her in our prayers. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, You have taken charge of us from our birth, caring for us in all conditions of life, fed us, as it were, from Your table, drawn the curtains of love around us, given us new mercies every morning. In Christ, You have given us these great blessings, a hope beyond the grave, the earnest and foretaste of immortality, holiness, wisdom, strength, peace, and joy. It grieves me to think how insensible we have been of the claims of Your authority and the endearments of Your love, how little we have searched Your truth, trusted Your promises, feared Your threats, obeyed Your commands, improved our advantages, welcomed Your warnings, responded to Your grace. But in spite of all this, we still live. Because You are patient with us, may Your goodness always lead us to repentance, and may Your patience result in our eternal salvation. We do pray this morning for Clara Bowles in hospital. We thank You for the report that they have gotten her blood pressure under control and she's doing well, and we thank You for that. We pray that they will be able to keep her blood pressure under control. And we pray for Jim as well. We pray for Bertha McCullough as she nears the end of her pilgrimage on this earth. We pray that You would grant for her dying grace. We pray for missionaries all over the world, missionaries of Jesus Christ, and we think about especially the ones that we know personally and support. We pray for the Bowlings in Mexico, the chaplains with Mission to the World. We pray for the Davilas in Costa Rica. We pray for the Hogues in North Africa. We pray for the Hills in Peru. We pray for Jim and Mary Alice Patterson with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And we pray for the Romaines in New York City. We pray that You would preserve them and keep them safe. And we pray that You would supply all of their needs. We pray that You would raise up more missionaries to go and to work in the field, for the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Lord, let us be reassured this day of Your goodness. Not to envy the wicked, not to doubt that it is worthwhile to live for You, that nothing escaped Your knowledge. Let us learn to put earthly things in the context of eternity. May we desire nothing more than You Yourself. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Page 825 in the back of your Trinity hymnal, you'll find our reading from the psalm for this morning. Our responsive reading comes from Psalm 107, verses 23 through 43. Would you read it with me responsibly? Men went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters.
For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. But He lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Our next hymn is number 498. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Would you please turn there? And let's all stand, if you are able, and let's sing all stanzas of Jesus, what a friend for sinners.
Oh,
seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare to receive our morning offering. Our Father in heaven, You have taught us that it is more blessed to give than to receive, and You have demonstrated to us what giving is by making the ultimate sacrifice for us. You have given for us Your one and only Son. Out of gratitude, we bring these offerings to You today with the desire that You would bless the offerings and use them to extend the kingdom of Jesus Christ to the uttermost parts of the earth. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen. The message this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And this is what it says. On the way to Jerusalem, He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When He saw them, He said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And He said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the Word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the Word of God stands and abides forever. Every word of it is true. And it tells us about Jesus. And there's no man like Jesus. I pray that God, by His Holy Spirit, would bless the preaching, the reading and the preaching of His Word to you this morning. And we'll bring a message from that text after the choir sings the special music. at this point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is making His way, walking to Jerusalem, and great multitudes of people are walking along with Him. Among the great multitudes walking along with Him are His own 12 disciples and many common people and Pharisees and scribes. He's talking to the multitudes as they walk toward Jerusalem from the north. He's walking along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and He comes to an unnamed village where He is met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. They had to stand at a distance because lepers were quarantined from society. Their disease endangered people who came into contact with them. They had obviously heard about Jesus, and as He approaches, they cry out to Him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when He saw them, He said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, the reason He said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest," was because there was a statute in the Old Testament law prescribing what to do about leprosy. Leviticus chapters 13 and 14 lays out a very long and careful procedure for determining whether somebody had this disease. And the local health inspectors were the priests. That was part of their function. Since they were responsible to know the law of God and to apply the law of God, and since this was laid out in the law of God, if you had a skin disease of any kind, you went to the priests and you went through a process of all that was required of you to do in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, so there could be a determination as to what exactly you had. And if it is discovered that you have this communicable disease called leprosy, you were then removed from all social contact. And the only people that you could ever associate with were other lepers. You couldn't associate with other people in the synagogue or any social environment whatsoever. You were removed from normal society. You were quarantined from society. And you were left only with others in your same horrific misery. Others who had the disease of leprosy. So Jesus tells them to go and to show themselves to the priest out of obligation to the law, the Old Testament law. They turned to do what He told them to do. And as they started on their way to the priest, they were healed. By obeying Jesus, they were healed. This is a message about Jesus working a miracle, healing diseases. This is a message about divine healing, but it is also a message about true gratitude. What is true gratitude? How do you define true gratitude? Well, first of all, true gratitude is always demonstrated by action. Jesus healed 10 lepers, and only one of them came back to thank Him. The one who came back to thank Him is the one who showed true gratitude. The others didn't show gratitude. How did the one show true gratitude? He turned around and came back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. True gratitude. Just like other things, is demonstrated by action. Love is that way. You can say that you love someone, but if it isn't demonstrated by your actions, then it can be just useless words. God said about the Jews, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have memorized." Faith is that way. James said, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works to back it up? Can that kind of faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. He says, I will show you my faith by my works. For as the body, apart from the spirit, is dead, so also faith without works is dead. There's such a thing as dead faith. Faith without any action is dead faith, and it's useless. True love is demonstrated by action. True faith is demonstrated by action. And true gratitude is demonstrated by action. Secondly, true gratitude recognizes where credit is due and gives credit where credit is due. 10 lepers asked Jesus to have mercy on them. He told them all to go and show themselves to the priest. They started to go to the priest, and as they went, they were healed. As they were going, they were healed. And this one, this Samaritan, realized what had happened. He realized that something miraculous had happened. Jesus had healed him. And he couldn't be silent about it. He had to go and acknowledge who did it. He had to show gratitude to the one who was responsible for his healing. He had to go and show gratitude to Jesus. His gratitude was expressed by praising God with a loud voice and by falling on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. W.A. Criswell was the pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas, for 50 years. Before he came to Dallas, he was the pastor of First Baptist Church, Muskogee, Oklahoma. He was the pastor of that church in 1944, when America and France and England were engaged in war with Germany. And Dr. Criswell said that when the announcement was made that our men would storm the bastion of Hitler and wade up on the beaches of Normandy, the invasion directed at the heart of the Nazi world, when that announcement was made, there was also a concomitant word, an appeal, that all of the people of America find their way to their houses of worship and ask God to bless the armed might of America. The announcement came to the church that he pastored then at about 2 o'clock in the morning. When the telephone rang and the word came to him, he dressed immediately, and by the time that he could get down to the church and walked in the door, it was already packed. The balcony around, the lower floor, everywhere people were waiting on God in prayer and asking the Lord to bless and to stand by the armed forces, the soldiers and the Marines and the sailors and the airmen of America. And the spirit of sacrifice was in the people, and they asked God's blessings upon the effort that was to preserve for us and for the world our hope of freedom and a better life. Dr. Criswell said, America then was a different kind of a nation from what it is today. America then still had a feeling in its heart of prayer and of looking up to God, something that we have lost today. We seem self-sufficient today. We seem to have persuaded ourselves that we've outgrown the Bible. We've outgrown the Savior. We've outgrown our need of God. And we have erected for ourselves new standards and new moralities and new ways of living and building and working. But the ways that we know now lead to destruction. They lead to disintegration. They lead to weakness. And finally, someday, unless there's a turn in American life, they lead to the dissolution of our nation. But in that Second World War, there was in the hearts of the people a great dependence upon and looking to God. That was the sentiment of W.A. Criswell, and he lamented the loss of dependence upon God and gratitude to God for blessing our nation. It reminds me of ancient Israel when they would go through these cycles. They would go through cycles of blessing, experiencing the blessing and the prosperity of God, and then they would forget God. And then they'd find themselves in hardships and difficulties, and they would remember God, and they'd cry out to God, and He would rescue them. And after a number of those cycles like that, He finally raised up the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, and they came through and they destroyed Jerusalem and they took the nation away into captivity. And eventually, the nation was scattered to the four corners of the earth. It is true that we live by the mercy of God, and He deserves our gratitude. Just as much in times of want as in times of plenty. Thirdly, true gratitude is motivated by grace to respond. There were 10 lepers. They all asked for mercy. Jesus showed them mercy and then He told them to go and show yourselves to the priests. Now the reason He did that was to affirm the viability of God's law. He is upholding the law. And He may well have been testing their faith too. But Jesus commands them to do it, to fulfill the obligation of the law, and they did it. That's what desperation will do for you. And as they headed off to show themselves to the priest in accordance with the law, they realized that they were healed. The text says, and as they went, they were cleansed. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. One of them turned back, and the reason he turned back was because he realized that he had been healed. He had been cleansed by grace. And because Jesus cleansed him by grace, he turned back to go and show gratitude to Jesus. Grace is the motivation for gratitude. I read a sermon that was preached by James Baird at First Presbyterian Church, Jackson, Mississippi, on this text. James Baird is the man who succeeded Don Patterson as pastor of First Presbyterian Church, Jackson. And Don Patterson was the father of Jim Patterson, who is married to Mary Alice Caulfield, and they are missionaries today with Wycliffe Bible Translators. Well, James Baird told this story about Jim Patterson's father, Don Patterson. Don Patterson gave to John Kyle an airplane. First Presbyterian Church, Jackson, actually raised the money to pay for that airplane because of Don Patterson. They call that airplane the Spirit of Jackson for Jackson, Mississippi. They sent it to the Philippines. He called it a Helio Courier, one of these planes that doesn't have to have a whole lot of room to land or to take off. And it was given so that missionaries could go into the jungles of the Philippines faster, something which would often take them weeks and weeks to do. With that airplane, they could go right in there to bring missionaries to those nationals in the jungles. And they could have access to remote places and people in the jungles. That plane was given to the Philippine government. And the president and everybody else was amazed. The ambassador for the United States to the Philippines turned to John Kyle and said, "Sir, I've been 3 years here in this country. This is the greatest thing that has ever happened to cement relationships between the Philippines and the United States." This was back in the early 1970s. It took a sacrifice. That plane was still flying 30 years later. But the point of the story is this. The Philippine colonel in charge turned and said to the representatives, there was an elder from First Presbyterian Church with Don Patterson. "Why did the people of Jackson, Mississippi do this? Why do they send this airplane to go to people who live in the jungles?" And here's what the elder of First Presbyterian Church said. He said, "Because the people in Jackson, Mississippi are thankful for what the Lord Jesus has done for them. That's why." They were motivated by the grace of Jesus shown to them. And when people really grasp the grace of God shown to them through Jesus Christ, they will be motivated to show gratitude. There's a fourth thing about true gratitude. True gratitude is obvious to observers. Jesus said, "We're not 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? Jesus is pointing out the obvious. Jesus saw it. We can see it. What I'm saying to you is that true gratitude can be observed. It is obvious to those around it. Anyone who has been around people very much in a work environment or in a social environment can recognize a grateful heart. People with a grateful heart become noticeable to you. You recognize a grateful heart. People who don't have a grateful heart are noticeable to you too. I know people that we have done things for that never showed any gratitude. Not that we are gratitude seekers. It's just obvious. I'm sure that you have done the same thing. You've done something for someone and they never acknowledged it. They never were thankful for it. They never showed any gratitude for it. Ingratitude is very common. It's very common and it's very ugly. Romans 1:19 through 21 says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." That's talking about mankind in general. What can be known about God is plain to mankind in general because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. Ingratitude. Ingratitude to the One by whom we live and move and have our being is one of the most abominable acts of misconduct imaginable. Ingratitude is an appalling offense to Almighty God. I have one final thing to say about true gratitude. True gratitude is the stuff of saving faith. Verse 17 says, "Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And He said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" There's something in the Greek text of verse 17 that you cannot see in the English text. When Jesus says to the Samaritan, "Rise and go your way, your faith has made you well," that word "well" is the word for salvation in the New Testament. It could literally be translated, "Your faith has saved you." The words in verse 14 and 17 are different words. Those are words for cleansing and healing. You see, all 10 of the lepers were healed physically. But the one who came back and thanked Jesus was healed spiritually. He was saved. And isn't it interesting that the one who showed gratitude is the only one that was saved? He got more than just physical healing. He got spiritual healing. He got delivered from the curse of sin and of death, and he received eternal life. There's a connection between showing true gratitude to Jesus and saving faith. Those who hear the message of the gospel come to Jesus and receive forgiveness of sins and everlasting life, and they will show true gratitude. Saving faith and true gratitude are of a likeness with each other. These 10 lepers are a picture of humanity. It's a picture of all of us. The large part of humanity receives blessings from God, what we would call the common grace of God, and they are ungrateful. They refuse to honor God and refuse to show gratitude to God. The one Samaritan who showed true gratitude is like the sinner who realizes that he is lost and undone, deserving God's wrath and unable of his own ability to do anything about it. That sinner recognizes that Jesus is the Savior that he needs. He repents of his sin, embraces Jesus as Lord and God and Savior. That repentant sinner displays humility and trust and praise and worship of Jesus. And that person is the one who receives salvation from Jesus. That person can be any of you here today. Do you have a grateful heart? A grateful heart is somewhat of an index on the soul. There's a warning in this passage, and it is this. You can experience the goodness and the common grace of God, and you do. The whole world does. He makes the sun to rise on all of us, and He makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. All of us breathe His air. He's good to all men. You can be blessed by God in an earthly, physical way, and you should be grateful to God for those blessings. But you can fall short. As you express gratitude to God for those blessings, you may realize that something is missing in your heart spiritually. You may realize that you are alienated from God, and Jesus is the answer for that. He is the way to reconciliation with God and eternal life. He is the way to true healing of the soul. And it is received by faith in Him. Anyone who responds to Jesus like this one leper did, falling on his face before Jesus Christ and embracing Him as Master and Savior, will receive the same miracle that He did for that one man. And one of the indications that a person has received Jesus is the reaction of a life that is lived in gratitude for Him. That's what we are about as Christians. We are about living a life of recognition that Jesus is Master and Savior and Lord, and living a life of gratitude for Him. That's what we are about. Living a life of service to God out of gratitude to Jesus. That's the essence of our worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this picture of true gratitude. True gratitude is always demonstrated by action. True gratitude gives credit where credit is due. True gratitude is motivated by grace to respond. True gratitude is grateful for spiritual blessings as well as for physical. True gratitude is the stuff of saving faith. True gratitude is an index to our souls. By Your Holy Spirit, would You help us to examine our hearts, to see what is lacking, and to do whatever it takes to make us truly grateful people, grateful to You, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is number 533. We're going to stand and sing stanzas 1 and 4. I am Thine, O Lord, I have heard Thy voice. This is a very brief and uncertain life. Be sure that the path you are on today leads to the destination where you want to end up. Let God's Word be your only rule. Let Christ be your only hope. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide, and the glory of God be your only ultimate end. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. God be with you.
God be with you.